friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. I know you're getting it off your chest today. Browns lose 41-17 to the Ravens. If you're on the phone lines, hang on. If you can't get a hold of us that way, you can always hit us up on social media at CLE Talking Heads. Let's bring in a super friend of the show from the Chronicle-Telegram, and you can always read him at brownzone.com. He is Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott. How are you?
Scotty.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Can you help me put some of the pieces back together from what we witnessed yesterday? What did you see?
Well, I saw an offense that could not move the ball consistently. Receivers struggling to get open. Receivers struggling to catch the ball. Receivers struggling to stay up. The line not protecting Joe Flacco well enough. Joe making a couple big mistakes. And then the defense, I don't know if wearing down's the right description, but I think they're asking too much of the defense, and it held up for just about as long as it could, especially without having Denzel Ward. And they really missed him, and Lamar Jackson was able to find the guys that, you know, Denzel Ward's replacements were covering, and for four touchdowns. So a lot to fix, and, you know, it just looked awful yesterday.
Does it feel funny that Denzel Ward was out all game?
Yeah, it certainly did. And, you know, all we heard was cramps, and he tried to come back and start a second half and couldn't do it. Hopefully we'll get, you know, a little better explanation today or when we talk to Denzel this week. But, you know, I mean, Denzel's a gamer, and he's played through injuries, and he's been out there a bunch, and he's a team leader, and he's dedicated. But him not being able to play yesterday was huge. I mean, I don't know if the Browns win that game. You know, we talked about them struggling to score. But the defense was holding up, and it felt like every time they got in the red zone and Denzel wasn't there, Lamar Jackson was able to find the guy that Cam Mitchell's trying to guard. You know, Mitchell gave him three touchdowns. It's a really tough spot for him to be in. Lamar extends plays. That makes it even harder on the secondary in those corners. But, you know, I think it plays out at least a little bit differently. I don't think the Ravens get 41 if Denzel Ward is out there like he normally is.
A lot of people pointing the finger at Kevin Stefanski. Is that fair?
For what?
The loss and the way this team is right now.
What are they blaming him for?
When you listen to what people are saying here, they just, is this team a team? Are they cohesive? Are they making players better? Is the coaching staff making players better? Just in general for a team, let's face it, they've lost eight in a row and they can't get to 20 on the scoreboard. Is that Kevin Stefanski's fault?
Yeah, I mean, right, eventually it all falls back on the coach, and that's, you know, life in the big city, and that's how it is with that kind of job. If you're asking me to list the Browns' biggest problems, Kevin Stefanski's not among those. I'm not saying he has no role in this. He's a head coach. He has a role. I feel like he's been given limited talent at certain spots. You know, they just got Judkins back yesterday. You know, you hope that improves the run game, and they need this run game to be legitimate in a threat and keep defenses honest. Otherwise, they're going to come after Joe Flacco all day and drop a bunch of guys, and then it's going to be hard. You know, I think the receiver talent is limited or at least unproven, and that makes life hard on a head coach. So, you know, I think Kevin has shown when he's been given enough talent that he can win and go to the playoffs and get good quarterback play. But when you don't get good quarterback play and all that goes around that, it's hard. So, again, I'm not saying he's not blameless, but I don't think he's the reason they are 0-2 and have lost 8 in a row.
I agree with you completely. I also agree with your wide receiver thought, but riddle me this one, and I don't know the answer to this. You and I have talked about wide receivers way too often.
Yep.
Why do you think they overestimated Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman? Two guys that I like, and I'm happy to have them on this team, even though they've had some drops and some bad issues here in the first two games, because of what they did when Jameis Winston, of all people, was throwing them the football last year.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought, Jeff. I, I don't think that they overvalued Jerry Jeudy. I think Jeudy is a legitimate starting receiver. We can argue if he's a one or a two.
I agree. I have no problem starting Jerry Jeudy. None.
Right. And I think he still gets open now. I don't think he's not off to a good start. I had him for two drops yesterday, including a bobble on the sideline that he thought he got his feet in. They ruled it incomplete, but it goes as an incompletion, and he had another drop, so that's two. I had him for at least one or two in the opener. So he's not off to a great start, but he can get open consistently, and I think he's, like I said, he's a legitimate starting receiver. Said Tillman still needs to show more, and I don't know if it was what he did with Jameis Winston that, quote unquote, fooled the front office. They liked him, right? They drafted him in the third round. Sure. We've seen this before. They have a higher opinion of Jamari Thrash than I do. They have a high, David Bell's not healthy now, but they always had a higher opinion of David Bell than I did. And, I know if you're getting elite quarterback play, that raises the talent of the receivers, but I don't think the receivers are doing much, those receivers in particular, to raise the play of the quarterback. I mean, there's a play yesterday where Tillman's running a deep in cut. He's open. Flacco's going to throw to him, and then Tillman falls down. Now, he gets up looking for a flag. I don't feel like there was contact, but he's supposed to be a big-bodied physical receiver. And I saw him fall down multiple times yesterday, whether it was contact or not contact, and you just can't have that. And that makes life really hard for a quarterback when there's limited opportunities for success. Joe had one, has to pull the ball back down, and then takes a sack. And, I just don't think there's enough production, enough separation, enough consistency from that receiver group as a whole.
Scott, Jeudy and Tillman are your top two guys at wide receiver. Joe, Dylan Gabriel, I don't know if Dylan threw to those two guys. 15 targets for Jeudy and Tillman and 6 receptions. That's awful.
Yeah.
Awful
it
percentage.
Is. Yeah, and, this, again, Joe's not blameless for this either.
Nope.
But there are plenty of balls he threw out of bounds because I think he thought guys weren't open. Plenty of balls he threw in the dirt or out of bounds because he was running for his life. And then there's the drops and the fall downs. And when their margin for error is so thin because they're not scoring a bunch of points, that just kills you. And we saw it. We saw it week one, right? I mean, the tone of every discussion around the Browns is different if they win week one, right? They're 1-1, and hey, they're whatever tied with everybody else in the division except the Bengals, who lost their quarterback. But they lost week one, and a big part of that was because Jerry Jeudy dropped the ball on fourth down, and Sed Tillman had a ball go off his hands for an interception late in the game. So those are the kind of plays that these receivers need to make.
I'm just so frustrated right now. At what point, then, do we start thinking about toying with the quarterbacks? I know he said yesterday, look, we're going to stick with Joe, but at what point do we just say, okay, I want to see what's on the bench, or you know what? Maybe the two guys I have on the bench are going to be slotted as the backup and the third-string quarterback for the next couple of years, and I'm worried about the guy we're going to get next year. I think that's Andrew's call, not really Kevin's call, but I mean, where are we going with the quarterbacks?
Yeah, it's a legitimate question. I think it's too early for a couple of reasons. 0-2 is not the end of the world as bad as it looked yesterday. And I think you have to commit as a team to, okay, try to get a fix, try to beat the Packers, Sunday in Cleveland and see if you can get this thing righted. And I don't think you pull the plug on your plan 2 weeks in. The other part of it is I'm talking about all the other issues on offense. Those don't go away if you make a quarterback switch. And I think it's a really tough spot to put Dylan Gabriel into. Say, yeah, we're not really sure about the protection. We had a backup right tackle, our left tackle struggling. Our receivers, either they're not getting open or they're not catching the ball. It just doesn't feel like a good time to me to go to Dylan Gabriel. And I think Joe Flacco deserves more time. I think the rest of the team thinks he gives them the best chance to win still. So I don't know if it's in London when you make this switch, if things continue to go in this direction. But I don't think it's now. And, assuming there's not some miraculous turnaround, there's going to be plenty of time for the rookie or the rookies quarterbacks to play. And I don't think it needs to be rushed, and I don't think it needs to be when you might have the best team in the league coming in to Cleveland with Micah Parsons in that defense bearing down on your quarterback.
Good point.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com, where you can go and read all of Scott's work as he covers the Cleveland Browns. Quinshon Judkins played in his first game. I want to see more. Scott, looked okay.
Yeah, he did. You know, we saw that 131-yard run when the game had been decided when Gabriel was in there. But you saw some stuff. You saw some physicality, saw a stiff arm, saw some cuts. I think it's correct to assume he's going to get better. You know, he had two practices, right? So I think he's going to get better. They need him to get better, or they need him, and they need him to play a bigger role, and they need that to happen as soon as possible. Because, you know, Joe talked about it at the end of his press conference yesterday, and it's not like a secret, but he talked about when the defense is playing as well as it did, and I know it's 41 at the end, but I thought the defense played really well for a long time yesterday. If you have that kind of defensive performance and you can run the ball, all of a sudden you can win some games. Like, there's a formula there, but it's not there unless you can run the ball. So I think Judkins is the missing piece of that. Now the line needs to play better too. But if you have that and you believe in the run game and the defense, then maybe you can find a way to win games. And we've talked about that forever. Like, that's the recipe and that's the blueprint. But Joe Flacco feels like it's still there. And how the defense played through most of the first two games, I think, is legitimate proof that that is a way, as long as you can figure something out offensively, right? You just have to get to whatever. Is it 20 points? Whatever that number is. But the run game is a huge part and a huge step in that direction.
Scott, how much do we point the finger? I'm not talking about pointing the fingers, but it's the consistency of the special teams having problems is becoming too consistent right now. How much of that gets pointed at Bubba Ventrone? How much of that just gets pointed at the talent that they're using on special teams?
I mean, it's tough because I just said, oh, it's not all Kevin's fault. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think Bubba's a good coach, and he's been around. He's a great special teamer. You know, but it's his decision to have, you know, Ronnie Hickman in there and be one-on-one with that guy coming up the middle. And, you know, the Ravens player, I think it was Hummel, says after the game that, yeah, we saw that earlier in the game, and I thought, hey, I'm going to be one-on-one with this guy, and I'm going to be able to beat him. Well, you know, the coach has to see that on the other side, too, say, how are we going to prevent that? And, you know, again, we go back to how thin the margin is here. You can't be giving away points on special teams, and it happens way too often. You know, the kicker was fine yesterday, but yet special teams is still a story because of the block punt that leads to a touchdown, right? It could be 3-3 at halftime, and you're feeling different, and yep. The Ravens approach it differently. Instead, it's 10-3. You get your punter hurt, and like, he's able to finish the game, but who knows if there's a lasting effect there from him getting run over. So, yeah, it's happened too often. The special teams has not been a winning factor for this team, I would say, in the last 2 or 3 years, for whether it's a routine turn game, whether it's a cover game, and eventually that does go back to Bubba, even though I do think he's a really good coach.
Scott, as always, we are reading at brownzone.com. You have an excellent analysis every time we talk to you, every Monday. I appreciate you. I just want you to know that.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Scott. Avoid the finger pointing in Berea this week, my friend. That's all I'll say.
Yeah,
thank you.
Sorry.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, bud.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I can't shake yesterday's game. I'm sorry. I can't shake it. I'm having trouble.
Well, why would you shake it? It just happened yesterday.
Yeah, I know, but there are some times, when you win, you can shake them really fast. You can look ahead and get excited.
You don't want to do that either. You want to hang on to those. As I recall.
I'm not angry, though. That's the problem. I am just super frustrated. You know, it's our buddy BR was sending us stats on the Browns defense. And if this doesn't make your stomach kind of turn, I'm just like, ugh. I mean, they're wasting this defense. Total yards allowed per game. Browns are number one, 191.5, best in the league. Passing yards allowed per game, 146. That is third in the league. Rushing yards allowed per game, 45.5. That is number one. Just wasting.
Well, let me throw this one at you, though.
Yeah.
The problem I have with what we're seeing so far.
From the defense or everything?
Everything, overall. Mm-hmm. Tell me how it's going to get better.
I don't know, Jeff.
Wide receivers
hanging on to balls. Little things going the Browns. Like, yesterday when they got the touchdown, I was like, huh, a deflection touchdown. Browns caught a lucky break.
That was an interception.
Yeah. Well, I'm checking stats. I don't see it, but should have been.
You and I both know it was.
Yeah.
It should have been.
Should have been. But it wasn't.
I don't see this getting any better.
But good teams catch those breaks, don't they? Good teams find a way to catch kind of breaks like that every once in a while.
Okay.
You don't disagree? You seem like we don't catch breaks. This team never does. And yesterday, they caught a break on that touchdown. Huge break. And they ended up in the end zone.
Eagles caught yesterday against the Chiefs. Yeah. Travis couldn't hang on to one. They intercept it in the end zone and return it. Not all the way, but close. The problem is I don't see how this is getting better.
I'm done getting mad. And I don't see how it's getting better either, Jeff. The wide receivers suddenly start catching every passes they're supposed
to.
That
would help.
I mean, they're in the NFL. Come on, guys.
I can't get past this. The Browns told us what they were doing. And I think they told us what this season was all about when they traded the number 2 pick for the number 5 and a number 1 next year. I'm not even mad about that. Travis Hunter hasn't been setting the world on fire. Mason Graham doing just fine so far. And next year's quarterback class is loaded. I'm not even mad about it. I think if you could tell me Lenora Sellers would be the quarterback of this football team for the next 12 years, I would just say thank you very much and give you a nice big hug.
I love when you put all these years. How about 4? I'll take one for 5 years, 4 or 5 years.
Real teams have quarterbacks for a long time, Andy. I want to be a real team. I'm not shooting for 4 or 5 years. I want to be a real team. Tell me Lenora Sellers is going to be here, and everything you go through this year is going to be worth it. Tell me fill in the blank who they might deem better than Lenora Sellers or any of the other guys will be the quarterback here for the next decade, and this year will be worth it. But let's not be delusional here. I think the Browns told us exactly what it is they're going to do this year when they traded the number 2 pick. You want me to double up on it?
Sure.
They told us again when they traded Kenny Pickett. Because you can't tell me that Kenny Pickett wouldn't give this team a better chance to win than Joe Flacco. Nothing against Joe. Fine career. Can he still throw it? Yeah. I told Dan before the show, Joe's like a senior tour golfer. Man, that guy can still putt, but he just can't, doesn't get it off the tee very well, and his iron play isn't as good. Joe can still throw.
I don't know. We haven't really seen him throw the ball downfield
very
much.
He can still throw.
Yeah, I think he can too, but
he can't run very well.
But if the receivers can't get downfield fast enough or hang on to the football, what does it matter how strong his arm is? Does that matter?
Have you noticed? Every drop that the receivers, I think, almost every drop the receivers have had, been a low throw. Now, should they catch him? Yep.
I got to think
about that. Both of the interceptions against Cincinnati, low throws. Yesterday, low throws on drops. So, yeah, the receivers should catch those. They're pros. Put the ball in a little better spot, maybe they wouldn't. I'm just saying, they told us what this was going to be all about when they traded the number 2 pick. Nobody wanted to look at it and see that.
Yeah.
They told us. Let's get Lenora Sellers in here. Fast.
The craziest thing in all of this is the fact that a Kevin Stefanski offense cannot run the ball. I think the
is that on the line or is that on the running backs?
I think that's on the line.
Let me argue with you.
The line has been horrendous.
Let me argue with you.
Go for it.
They had one run that popped, 31 yards.
Right.
But you don't take those away. That's part of a running game, and they averaged 5.2 yards per carry yesterday. while Baltimore averaged 2.1.
If I were to ask you right now, can the Browns run the football for 4 yards, would you say yes or no?
I would tell you I don't know.
I would say
that's
no.
That's a problem.
I would say no.
Because what's happening is the defense is in a position where they are guarding against everything you're doing in the passing game. And therefore, the answer is to run the ball. And the teams are looking at the Cleveland Browns and saying, run it. We dare you. And the Browns can't do it. The Bengals are a really bad defense. The Browns could run the ball against them.
All right, what's more bad news, kids? So I looked at Tankathon to see where these picks are sitting right now because they factor in strength of schedule, and that gives you where teams are in their picks. New Orleans has the number one pick as of 2 weeks. This is 2 weeks into the season. I can't believe I'm even looking at this. But 2 weeks into the season, it's New Orleans, the Jets, Miami, and then the Browns. So the Browns would have the number four pick in the draft. And then that Jacksonville pick, due to strength of schedule, is 17th. So.
Andy, there are a lot of quarterbacks coming out in this draft.
17?
The only way the Browns are going to make sure they get the guy they want is to lose as many games as they possibly can.
I hate
They don't want to do that.
I know.
But that's let's be realistic here. They told us what they were doing when they traded out of two.
Joe is in Aurora. Hello, Joe.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, this came up when the Watson trade happened. And someone predicted on your show that this would set back the team 5 years. And that means into 2027. Since the trade, tell me a draft pick of the Browns that is playing on the offensive line besides Jones.
There isn't one.
Exactly. You win the game with the offensive line. Paul Brown, what was his first draft pick? A center.
Bill Johnson.
Why? Okay. So here's your problem. You haven't replaced that line. Everyone on that line that's playing today was hurt last year for a significant period of time. And you didn't draft a lineman. And that's where it starts. So that Watson trade is going to perpetuate into the future. And second point, it's not Stefanski or Flacco's problem. They played the game right. They can't run the ball. And you guys are talking about it. And that's the offensive line, moving people.
Yeah, I get that. Joe had the one pick that drove me crazy. So, and then there were just a little things, little things here and there. But, I mean, it happens to every quarterback at least once in a game. I don't know. When Joe threw that ball into no man's land with Njoku down there, I just was like, man, why would you do that? Why just eat it? See another day, you know? See another play. Joe, thank you. Appreciate it. Let's go. David is in Cleveland. Hi, David. How are you?
Bob Johnson.
Hey, pretty good. How are you guys?
Good. What's a good word there, David?
David.
I got a few things. Let me vent a little bit. A couple of things. You guys have hit on it, but then again, you won't accept certain truths, you know, with all the great analogies that you have given. Number one, Joe Flacco cannot extend a play. And you're talking about getting breaks. Sometimes you get breaks from a quarterback that can extend a play.
You know what play he tried to extend yesterday? The interception. That was a play he tried to extend.
Let me finish.
Go ahead. We're going to interject. Okay. So go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that.
No worries. Go ahead.
That's what I like about you guys, because you guys will interject without cutting people off. And that's not always the case with – I've been listening to talk radio sports for way back with Pete Frank.
We hear you. I hear you got a good role. Keep going.
Okay. Now, when I look at these other young quarterbacks, going back to extending the plays, that has a – effect on defense. When they know that a quarterback can possibly do that, then I think they may defense you a little differently. And secondly, when I'm looking at all these other young quarterbacks, and we don't know what we have on that bench. We keep talking about the draft class that's coming up. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so unfair to these guys, man. If you're always thinking about – what's going to pick next year without giving these guys a chance.
But David, they told us they were going to do that, didn't they?
I know, but that's wrong, man. I don't care what they said. Then don't draft them. You know, these guys, they're humans, and they need the opportunity to show what they have. And you're going to come to an organization that's going to stifle your development, then, you know, I think you're doing those players injustice.
David, thank you. Appreciate it. Have a good day. I got time for one more in the segment. Let's go Noah Brunswick. Hi, Noah.
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. So just a couple of things I wanted to talk about. Like offensively, just the offensive line kind of like a little iffy or whatnot. Not saying there was like too many holes or anything. Like you said, take it for what it's worth. The run plays, we're averaging 5 yards carry or whatnot and everything. But those are off attempts. So you can only go for how many attempts you can go for. Defensively, there's holes there as well. Like, the DBs, like Denzel Ward cramping up and everything, Greg Newsom not playing at his full potential. We've seen him play so much better than what he's actually capable of doing right now. And I'm not just saying that just for like DB's purposes. Miles Garrett over there, and he's a dog himself and everything. So they're doing their 111th and everything. So there's nothing on that. And then like anybody else would say, special teams wins football games no matter what. I mean, you got Devin Hester. He was the most, like, he led the reception or returns and everything. And he attested to that today.
Right. Thanks. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. I still don't know the impact of this kickoff rule, too. I mean, yesterday we saw a couple get run back. That was kind of fun. But, you know, it is devastating, though, would have a fair catch in the end zone now. Because, I mean, you're giving them 60% of the field on the other side. So all interesting, all things that are making us think today, especially after a rough loss yesterday. Get it off your chest. 216-474-0092. There are some good things going on in town, and one is the Guardians. We'll dip into that a little bit here throughout the show. But when we come back, I want to take more of your phone calls. I want you to let us know how you feel about yesterday's game, because there was a lot of finger pointing. I'm looking for corrections next. Tell me how we can fix this, and is there any hope? 216-474-0092.
Friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show
your way and on your time.
All right, Phelps, people need to get stuff off their chest. We're here. We're here for you. We're still bummed out. It hasn't changed. Let's go to Trevor in Sugar Falls. What's up, Trev?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hello, Trevor.
What's a good word?
Hey, so my big thing, I'm with you guys on the defense. They put up some good points on us. We played well. Now, my one thing is, in terms of offense, let's be honest, Joe Flacco, he's got ball knowledge. We know that. I think after seeing Dylan Gabriel go in, he put together a good drive. We got the ball moving on the ground, put a good throw over for a touchdown. Now, I think if we're going to suffer as a team, we need and I know we plan on picking up a QB, but we need to let these young guys suffer as well. They can't just suffer from the sidelines. They need to be in there with the team playing, developing these young guys. Although maybe they won't be with us forever, they need to get up there. They need to develop.
Trevor, I'm just curious, when they said that Flacco was a starter in the beginning of the year, were you down with it? Were you good with it or no?
I was down with it, but that's, you know, I was riding that Flacco high, you know, when he came out and sure, looked good for us. Now the big thing is, after the first two games, I'm like, we need to switch something up. But I know it's tough to say that and throw it in after just two games, but it's the typical Browns thing, you know. It's ring around the rosy. You feel the same emotions each Monday. It's the same thing. I think we need to try something else, because that drive, Dylan Gabriel, he was in control. He looked good.
It was late in the game, too. Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was okay. Thank you. I mean, it was meaningless.
I'm
just glad he was able to get on the field.
I'm resisting the temptation to say you need to start Dylan Gabriel, because I agree.
At what point will you say that? What is it going to take to start Gabriel?
A decision. I'm not looking at the... and here's the thing. I'm not looking at the other teams and thinking that, well, you can't start them against Green Bay. You can't start them against Detroit. You can't start them against Minnesota. Andy, what makes you think you can start Joe Flacco against those guys? To give you a better chance to win.
That's all you're saying.
How'd history look like yesterday?
Except for one play yesterday, for the most part. Maybe there were two. That I felt like
maybe there were three.
Flacco was in control. 6-7.
Joe's had a fine career. I've made real clear my thoughts the whole time. You know, if no one could beat him out, that's a shame right there, man. And for the life of me, I can't figure out the Kenny Pickett thing. And I'm not saying Kenny Pickett's the reincarnation of Brett Favre or anybody else who's any good. If you were going to go through this, why wouldn't you have done it with a young guy who is more mobile? I don't get it. And if Dylan and Shadur aren't ready, okay, I understand. Play the 26-year-old guy who's mobile.
I'm trying to remember how many games into the season last year before Indianapolis changed their mind.
Well, they started Anthony Richardson, and then they went to Joe, and then they went back.
Yeah.
It was right when Anthony Richardson got tired. They had to come out.
Oh, that's right. That was it. Yeah.
I forgot about
that. I'll never forget that. That was insanity.
And Joe was, what, 2-4, I think, is the starter there? Look, the last thing I want to do is say a guy who has had a really, really good career shouldn't be playing. Because I don't think the options are any better. That's the thing. I truly think in this situation, the best guy to play quarterback got traded to the Raiders. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to be the best overall. The best guy for the situation we're dealing in right now, they traded to the Raiders. Not sure why. I keep going back to, you picked up that second first-round pick. It screams you're getting one next year. And, you know, would Pickett have given you a better chance to win? I don't know.
I don't know either. I see what you're saying, though.
But if he had, Andy, maybe that's why he's not here. You know what I'm saying? If you're looking at next year's draft, we've all been here before, right? We've all been here before. If you're looking at next year's draft, don't you want the highest pick possible? Why did DTR finish the season here last year instead of Jameis Winston, who at least entertained the heck out of us and gave you a chance to win?
Taking off phone call.
I still think Deshaun could end up being the quarterback here before it's all over.
I don't disagree. I've been saying that since the offseason. I've been saying it over and over. It's return on investment.
Why wouldn't you?
And if you don't believe in the two younger quarterbacks.
Or Joe.
Well, I would.
Why wouldn't you?
If Deshaun's good to go, Joe's probably gone.
Hey, if Deshaun.
They'll probably release Joe if they're bringing him back. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Deshaun comes back. Okay, let's throw out this scenario. And looks competent. Could you possibly trade him?
No.
Okay. Well, then you're going to draft a guy next year. Deshaun's going to start. And when that guy's ready to play, Deshaun will sit. And then his contract's up and you'll move on. And you'll keep Shadur or Dylan. They're your three quarterbacks.
There is no hope to sell to your fan base or anyone around them by throwing out a 30-year-old coming off of two torn Achilles and shoulder surgery whose arm strength isn't where it needs to be.
Did you see some of the video of him moving the other day? And throwing? His arm strength might not be where it needs to be. His mobility looked pretty good. And Dan, I'm not beating the drum for Deshaun Watson. It's the worst move this franchise has ever made, by their own admission. You don't think Deshaun could give you as much of a chance to win as Joe? And maybe turn it into something?
No. Okay. I really don't.
Okay.
I do not think the solution to any kind of winning and or hope involves Deshaun Watson.
I didn't say winning or hope, did I?
You know, I think it's just stretching time till next year. Well, then your first round pick.
Well, then if that's the case, if we're just, you know, going to flail in the wind all season and do the Romeo Crennel, you know, whatever direction you want to point to of, hey, let's try this quarterback. Oh, that failed. Okay, we'll set him down for a while. Okay, get this one. Oh, that failed. Okay, let's go back to the first one. Oh, that one failed again. Like, if we're going to do that one, then why? What does it prove?
We're not doing it. The team did this. We're just talking about it. We're not doing it.
I meant the collective organizational. Okay. I'm not saying that Jeff Phelps is holding the cards right now.
Daniel Jones
would have been here or Sam Darnold would have been.
You know what
here.
I mean? This is the situation we get to talk about and try to make sense of and try and figure out what plan they're on. The only plan I can see that they're on is they're taking a quarterback next year, and it doesn't behoove you to go out and win 9 games.
First good use of behoove.
Thank you.
Second, I don't think there's anywhere involving the quarterback position or the current play of the offensive line that's going to get you to 9 games. So I think you can flush that bad boy down the tank.
That's a shame.
I feel pretty good in saying such things.
But you know what, though? They brought in a couple of guys we like at running back. I like Judkins. He looks okay. I think Dylan Sampson is intriguing, even though they didn't play him much yesterday. I'm not giving up on Cedric Tillman. I know he's had some issues here. I think Cedric has some ability. We'll see. Jerry Jeudy, very competent, even though he's had some issues. But I think he's competent. And I think Isaiah Bond is pretty interesting. Harold Fannin looks like he can play. David Njoku probably won't be here long-term, contract, free agency. I get it, and that'd be okay for David. In other words, they're adding young talent to this team.
Right.
What does that scream? Rebuild.
Yeah.
Oh. So that's okay.
The three of us sniffed this out before the draft.
Remember, that's all okay. That's okay. And that's why you're probably playing a 40-year-old quarterback and you have two rookies.
It's where you sit. I got a headache over this. Listen, it is a Therapy Monday. We know there are a ton of you that are trying to get through on the phone lines. If you can't, all you got to do is hit us up on social media at CLE Talking Heads, going through it all. And you know who else is going to help us? Our partner on Sundays on the Browns Radio Network. He is Tyvus Powell. He is next right here. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.